I just wanted to say that thank the Lord for, we've had two family members get hurt this last week, and y'all know about one of them. My mother-in-law broke her hip, and she's doing fine. She's they done an operation, and another day she'll be home, 91 years old. Thank the Lord for that. And, also, yesterday morning, Patsy Fallbush, she fell and broke her hip. And so with the Lord again, and she went in under the knife today, and she come out, and she's fine. And so I just want to thank the Lord for all the things he's doing for us and healing us.
Right.
And we got to see it and hang on to it.
Amen.
Because, you know, without him, we'd be in a real bad shape.
Right? That's right.
Just want to give thanks.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Also, our little quick testimony that this past weekend, our car broke down. Long story short, we went from coolant leaked out on the ground on the side of the road, thinking I was going to get a tow truck, to up and running in about a half an hour. So
Amen.
The Lord knows what he's doing. He always provides in this situation. Just remember, as we pray, continue to remember Brother Howell, Sister Audrey, Sister Frida, Isaac Rudd, Baby Olam, and then also Sister Trudy Collins and her girls are traveling next couple Wednesdays or so for work and everything. They're out in South Carolina. Just remember them. Also, Sister Frida had mentioned she's having confusion and pain and could be due to shingles. So she's having a brain scan, should have been today, but just pray and confess that all is well there. And Sister June says Josh and his family are flying to Chicago tomorrow. So remember Josh and his family for traveling mercies. Sister Anna Roberts says, please pray for Dad's brother John. They think he has congestive heart failure. They're at the hospital now. Also, the Roberts family will be traveling this weekend and next weekend on vacation. So remember them traveling. Brother Wade, you preaching tonight? That was Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron, yeah. Remember Brother Aaron preaching tonight? Okay. And, all right. Any unspoken requests? Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for us to be here, Lord, gathered in your name again tonight, and pray you just bless all these spoken requests, Lord, all those unspoken, the hands were lifted up for. Help Brother Aaron, continue to be with him and his family as they get here, and just anoint his lips to speak and our ears to hear, and give us understanding of your word, Lord. We need revelation more than anything, Father, and just forgive us for our sins. And also I pray you touch Sister Anna Roberts for her request about John Dale, and also them with their traveling coming up, Sister Trudy and her family traveling. I thank you for touching Sister Frida for continuing to manifest your healing in her body. Also, Josh and his family, keep them safe traveling. And we love you and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all remain standing.
Amen. Brother Aaron's running about 15 minutes late, so anybody have a special on their heart, just raise your hand here. We do have the Bonnet going to sing here in a little bit. But let's sing Greater Is He That Is In Me. Amen. E flat. And then after we do, we'll take up the offering. Okay. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind flew into
upper room, baptize all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I gotta let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Brother Jonas, if you'll come this evening, take up our offering. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, sir. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Need all the help. Excuse me. We need all the help we can get. So, y'all sing if you know the song, and also Brother John, whip out the bongos, please. I appreciate Brother John playing those bongos back there. It sounds good. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know is true. So it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. 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 Die for me. Amazing love, I know is true. So it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. So it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. Let me honor. You are my King. Let me honor you.
Hey, what a blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Lord. Need the stage crew to set up the family there for sure. Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. No, anybody else have a special this evening? Appreciate Brother Aaron. He's in the maintenance side of the industrial world. I spent 40 years as a facility maintenance manager, and it's a tough life for if you don't really love your job, because they call you day and night, 7 days a week. There's been many Easters I'd walk out this door and happen to open up an electrical house and in town just to get a part or something. But appreciate Aaron, worked with him. You all don't know, probably don't know this, but he and I run in together on a contract maintenance job one time at Hayes Wheels when they were closing that. But don't ask him to tell you any stories on me, because he's got a couple good ones. But it's a different world out there in maintenance. Just remember that. The guy's got an attitude. They got an attitude. But my Lord, when I was at Cardinal Glass, I'd have 24/7, 364 and a half days a year, I'd have a machine go down, be down 12, 13 hours, computer stuff and all kinds of stuff. I'd lay hands on there after it was time. We have a progression of notification. I'd lay hands on a piece of equipment. It'd come up many, many times. And I give God the glory for that. So he's in everything we're in if he's in us. Amen. I hope he's ready. Here we go. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
to see you. I want to see you. To see you I'm lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I'm lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be seated. I'm going to sing something. Kia, see? No. Amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread, fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master called them, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. And soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a feast always. And all you have to do is just be willing and available and ready to receive. Amen. I'm so glad that when we have a desire, we have a need, we have a problem, he's always there. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's stand this evening and look into the scripture. John chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. And I was trying to think of a song that actually went along with what I want to speak about tonight. And that's the only song that, the first song actually really came to my mind that had that in it. But John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it's about turning the water into wine. And I titled this, Filled to the Brim for a Miracle. And I heard something the other day that just caught my attention. And what struck me, I was listening to somebody. Do you know that the water to wine is probably one of the most common miracles that's talked about that Jesus performed? People that are not Christians, people that don't read the Bible, they don't go to church, but people will tell you that Jesus turned water to wine. They know about water to wine. But what was interesting was when you look at that, everybody's like, well, Jesus turned the water to wine. Well, you know what? Something had to take place. Something had to take place. So that's what I want to look at tonight was, that's what caught my attention when I was hearing that. You know, because everybody thinks, well, you know, just Jesus done this and Jesus done that. But you know what? It took, somebody had to do something. There had to be an act of faith for God to perform. And if we see that, you know, it's just like, well, God just does. Yeah, but lots of times what holds God from doing things is we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
So let's just all bow our heads this evening and remember all the ones that are sick and afflicted, all the needs. But thank the Lord. He's always a miracle-working God. He's always the great physician. And all we got to do is just trust Him. Amen. Let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this time, Lord, to be in Your house this evening, Lord Jesus, for, Lord, together with those of like precious faith, Lord Jesus. Father, we just pray that You just come amongst us this evening. Lord, just help us. Lord, just get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that You can have the preeminence. Father, You just come and be the speaker and the hearer, Lord. Lord, we have natural hearing, Lord, but it takes supernatural hearing. It takes the Holy Spirit, Lord, for us to hear. Father, there's many times we've heard the prophets say so many things. We just be listening to tape, read a book, and we've passed over it hundreds of times. And all of a sudden, You come and quicken that. And it's just like it becomes brand new. We don't see it the same way anymore. And Father, that's what we're desiring, Lord, that You come and just anoint us. Lord, You get the glory out of this. Lord, You just help each one that's not here, Lord, the ones that are in this building that have needs. Lord, You know what's on every heart, every desire. And Lord, we just commit it to You and the ones that are watching in. Lord, we just pray that You be with them and touch them, whatever their needs may be. Lord, You've heard all the requests that has been mentioned. And Lord, we just commit them to You, Lord, because we know that You're, whatever the question is, whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, You are the answer to it. And Lord, we just commit it to You, Lord. We just thank You for all Your blessings on us. And we just want to say that we love You because You first loved us. And where would we be without You? So Lord, we just commit this to You, Lord. Just bless the reading of Your word. Bless Your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they were filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may have your seats this evening. God bless the reading of the word. And so, that was, as I was saying, I was listening to a man, and he was talking about, you know, this being the one of the most commonly known miracles. Even people that aren't Christians, they know about this this miracle that took place. But you know, lots of times we don't understand. We don't look at the scope. A lot of people don't look at the scope of what it takes for a miracle. And you know, Brother Branham was speaking in a message and. At Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham was talking about miracles. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, not for us to ask for miracles. He said, but, you know, we look to God. We put our faith in God because God, he said, signs follow the believers. He said, if we have our trust in God, in his word, then the miracles will take place. He said, God performs miracles. But the thing is he said, Brother Branham said, the Bible says a weak and adulterous generation seeks after miracles. He said, we don't seek after miracles. But he said, but God performs miracles. He said, right at the same time he said that, he was performing miracles. He said, I don't believe in evidences. He said, I believe in the evidence that we're saved. We took God at his word. So that's the main thing, is taking God at his word. But, you know, God does miracles. He's a miracle-working God. But the main thing is not seeking after a sign and not seeking after a miracle, but putting our trust in God. Because whatever God wants to do, God is sovereign in what he does. And, you know, but the thing is God wants us to have our trust in him, to have confidence in him. And, you know, whatever he wants to do, then praise God. I know one thing, whatever God does, he don't make a mistake. He's never wrong. You know, because I love what, you know, when they were speaking to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, and, you know, they were asking him, said, you know, who's right, the Union or the Confederates? And, you know, is the Lord on our side? And he said, it's not whether God is on their side or God is on our side. He said, my question is, and my goal is to make sure I'm on the Lord's side. He said, because the Lord's always right. And many times we try to get it where we try to get God on our side. And the main focus is we need to be on God's side. We need to have the Lord's plan and his will. That's what we need to look for. Not trying to mold everything to us, but we need to be molded unto his plan. Whatever he wants, his will, his way, that's what we want. And so when we seek for these things, see, we are seeking not miracles, but we are seeking the word. We are seeking God's word. And, you know, one of the things that Brother Brown was talking about was when you see, you know, the greatest miracle that's taking place, you know, we don't realize sometimes when we look for a miracle to take place, but really the greatest miracle that's ever taken place is when you come from a sinner that is cut off, alienated from the life of God, when you're hopeless and helpless, and when the creator of all heaven and earth comes down, when he condescends to you and makes himself known to you, and he takes up residence in you, that's the greatest miracle. And many times we say, well, we're looking for a miracle. You don't realize, but you are a walking miracle. The miracle has already taken place. He's standing in your midst as a miracle. The problem, you are a miracle. And he is, what he has done is, this is a masterpiece. And many times we don't see that. We don't consider that. But we are a miracle. And we are a masterpiece of God's grace, of his power in the world today. You know, people look at, and they look at the world, and they see all these great majestic things, and you know they try to split atoms, and you know they're trying to figure out all these great things and understand the mysteries of all these great things that God has created, and not realizing the greatest one is when God said, "Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and for him to have dominion over the earth." And that's what he still wants to have today, because through the fall, that was what was separated from man. He lost that ability. He lost that relationship. He lost that, all of that that God had designed for him, that he had designed man to do, was to have dominion, to be an amateur God, to fulfill the plan of God. And when that failed, then guess what? God made a way, because he knew it was going to take place. He created a way for God to bring man back into that place, back into the same fellowship. And so that's what God has for us today. And so the thing is but there is a way that we must come into that. And so that's what God has for us. If we can just follow what God has for us, the plan of God, what God has done for us, and realizing it's greater and there's more of it. And so Brother Branham was speaking, he was speaking to his disciples, and you know, he was telling them about what they needed to do. Because when we see when man was separated from God, you know, he got away from the Word of God. You know, Eve separated herself because she didn't follow the Word. She got out from behind the fortification that the Word presented to her. It protected her. And even Adam, knowing that Eve was in the wrong, and yet he went out with her. Why? Because his love for her, and he knew what he'd done, but you know what? He had a love for her. And so he went out with her, knowing what he was giving up, and he went out. But you know what? That was showing a type of Christ. Because you know what? He descended from the highest of glory from heaven to come and condescend to be the same as you are. To go through the same things that you and I have went through. Yeah. To feel the pain and the loneliness, right, and every other thing that we can face that as a human, to face these things, but to bring us back. Amen. To bring us back into fellowship. Amen. And when he began to speak to the disciples and he began to tell them, he said, "You go out into the world. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel." He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, that was it. He said, get back to the same word. It'll produce the same thing. He said, they followed that word, and it zeroed in and drove a tack. Every tack, every promise that God made was made manifest. He said, if we'll get back to that same word, it'll drive the same tacks, do the same miracles, perform the same things, make the same light, make the same creature, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, see visions, prophecies. It's the same gospel that drove the tacks then, if we'll get back to that, to the same thing. And he was talking about, just like a gun, having the same conditions in it. And when a gun is set right, when the barrel is correct, when the scope is set, when the sights are correct, every single time when you're holding that rifle the same, every single time, if you can hit the bullseye the first time, you should hit the bullseye every single time. It shouldn't, there should be, because he was saying, so if we can get all the vibrations of unbelief out of us, God's work will still be like it was at the first beginning. That's exactly right. It'll zero every time. It did once. It'll do it again. Don't be satisfied with a creed or something. Stay right there until the word zeros. So we have to follow the same word. But if he's done it one time and he laid out the plan for us to come back, then all we've got to do is get in that same plan. Follow that same thing, and it'll zero every time. But you know, That's what Satan's plan is. That's what Satan's desire is to hinder you, to block you, to stop you from what God has for you. But you know, God is there, and he's trying to reach out to you and bring you to the place that he wants you to come to. But the problem is, you know, we have the power. It's ours. We give Satan the right to say, well, yeah, you know what? You can just come and get in my way and stop me because, you know what, I'm not going to go any further because, you know. If we listen to him. And, you know, it's just like, you know. Brother Boyd, you brought this up, so. But, you know, I'm not going to mention any names. The names of the guilty are omitted to protect them, I guess. But you see people that, you know, when just like you know, he talked about, you get into a certain situation and you see these people. And, you know, y'all understand. But, I mean, it's so amazing how, you know, you try to work with people. You try to have a good relationship with them. You try to take care of things. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, they're going to fight you tooth and nail. And you know what? And you're doing the dead level best to help them. You can take and draw a big chart out and explain, this is what we're doing, and this is why we're doing it. And this is benefiting you. It's not benefiting me. Because, you know, it's like you go in there, and Brother Boyd will tell you, you know, you're working on something. It's like, listen, we got 19 other jobs to do, but we're going to take priority and do your job when it doesn't take priority, but we're going to do this for you. Well, we got other things that are more important, but we're going to help you. And then, you know what? They'll get in your way. They'll do everything they can just, and it's like, you know what? It's like, we just, exactly, it's a mistake. And then you just say, okay, sorry, here you go. And you have to move on. And it's the same thing. God will come and he'll speak to you and you'll hear, how many times have you heard the prophet say or a minister or somebody will be speaking and they'll be speaking to you and you know that the Lord is sitting on the pew with you talking in your ear and he's telling you exactly, it's thus saith the Lord and it's right to you. And you know that the Lord is in, it's right to you. The only thing that's not been said from the pulpit is your name. But you know it's to you. And, you know, and sometimes everybody else in the church or other people in the church know it's for you. But sometimes the problem is when everything is going right to you. And then when you get done, it's like, well, who was that for? And not realizing the Lord's speaking to you. It's thus saith the Lord. It's to you. And everything, he comes right by and speaks to you and speaks to your situation. Exactly. Letter perfect. To a T. And we miss it. How many times would Brother Branham standing there and he calling people out and he's calling some sister out in the audience and he's talking to her and saying, the sister back there, and you know what? He begins to speak and talk to her and tell her the situation and trying to tell her what kind of dress she has on and everything. And he begins to pray to the Lord, Lord, don't let her miss it. And in the midst, then he calls her name. And tells, and then she said, you know, that's for you. But you know what? She, for some reason, maybe she didn't think she had faith enough for God to speak to her. But he's standing there speaking and telling her, this is for you. This is for you and it's for you. And then, well, I don't know. But when the devil has stood and hindered you over and over and over and over again, and you know what? I guess you're right. Satan, I guess you're right. But you know what? It's like, I'm supposed to resist the devil, but you know what? Sometimes he just gets on, and you know what? And it's whoever we're close to. Sometimes it's our spouse. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's our boss. Sometimes it's our mom and dad. And sometimes it's born again believers. Oh no, we don't. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's somebody and they're going to say something to you. And you know what? They just, well, I'm just going to take my feelings. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to sit down. And I'm just going to quit. Just going to quit. Well, just keep talking the devil's language. He wants you to do that. Just quit. Well, I'm just upset. Nobody appreciates me. Well, you know what? Brother Bram talking about our life down here is not a flowery bed of ease. You're going to have those times. And you know what? If nobody goes, if the rest of your life, nobody ever comes by and pats you on the back and ever tells you that you've done a great job and we appreciate you, you know what? That's still not a reason to try to quit.
Amen.
Why? Because you know what? If every gun inhales against you, if every devil inhales against you, and you've got nobody in your corner, but you know what? You still got Almighty God who's still behind you, and He's still going to stand there. And you know what? Many times He wants us to stand alone to see if we can stand on our own two feet. Sometimes, you know, it's just being a child of God is to raise up, just like raising children. You know what? There's a time you got to get them. You can't just carry them around all the time and pat them on the rear end and just, you can't coddle them. You got to set them down and say, listen, you got to start learning how to walk. Stand on your own two feet. And you know what? They're going to fall down. And you got to get them back up. And you know what? Sometimes the best thing to do is just let them sit there. They'll fall down. But you know what? Sometimes they'll get in their mind, it's time to get up. Instead of you trying to scoop them up all the time, sometimes you just let them fall down. And guess what? They'll go somewhere and they'll get on the wall or they'll get to the couch and they'll start pulling themselves up. Why? Because we've got to get to the place where it's us and God. You know, one of the biggest problems that people had when the prophet was here was every time they had every little thing that come along, is we got to get in touch with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham's standing there trying to get people to understand, you got to look to Christ. It's you and Christ. He said, I'm not here trying to make myself anything. He said, I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. And it's the same way we're pointing the people to Jesus Christ. That's what God has come. He's wanting to have a relationship with you to the place that you can do these things.
Amen.
Can we do this? Yes, we can. Here's when Jesus is there and he's standing there at the water, at the wedding, and you know. When his mom Mary comes to him and tells him there's no wine, we have no wine here, and he's like, well, but she knew you need to do something, and is the first thing that here he is standing there, but the first thing that she done was she went to Jesus with her problem.
Right.
And that's the first thing you got to do, is you got to go to Jesus with your problem.
Yeah.
She went and said, listen, they need, and he's like, what do you have to do with me? And he had never done any miracles, but she was looking to him for an answer, because, and when she had such faith that she stood there and she told him, said, whatever he says for y'all to do, just do it. And they have these the big water pots there that they have for when they entered in, that was for them to clean with. And here they are with those big water pots, and you've got different measures, and there's many things that you can look at in the types here, but when they have all these big water pots, and when Jesus comes in and he tells them, he said, fill those water pots.
Amen.
So here they are, they come and they fill the water pots full. Here though, they are adding all the water. Well, they didn't sit around and say, well, why are we doing this? They need water. They're looking for wine, not water.
Yep.
Well, why are we doing these things for? I was reading a commentary by Spurgeon, and Spurgeon was talking about, it was so amazing when you look at this situation, God is only using what's available. He said the pots were already there. He said water was in abundance. There was no shortage of water. And so here they are. That's what was in front of them, that was close by. And he said, just fill them up. Brother Branham said that the wine, the water, would most likely be turned into wine anyway, so he just bypassed all that. But you know, he wanted them to do something. And they didn't question, why are we doing this? What's the outcome? No, just fill your water pots. Just fill them up. Just continue to fill them up. And he said, you know, not just add a little bit more and a little bit more. He said, fill them up to the brim.
Yeah, right.
What does that mean? You fill them up till you can't get no more in it.
Amen.
The next step is overflowing.
Amen.
Put all you can in there. Just keep filling them. Keep filling those pots. Amen. I mean, and so, you know, what is the clay pots represents humanity, humans.
Right.
There's six pots. What is the number of man? You know, there's different types that we can look at. But you know, here they are adding the water to those pots. And you know what? They keep adding water into it. What is it? The water of the Word. Just keep putting it in. Just keep putting it in. Keep putting it in. And he said when they got to the place where they filled those water pots full, then they could dip out. But it's such a simple thing. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do. He said, you know, he said, when he was speaking to the disciples and he was telling them, he said, you know, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Right, man, right.
So if you do what I say do, he said, then the miracles will take place, but you just follow what I say do.
Right.
And he began to tell them to go out and he said, listen, he said, in my name you'll cast out devils.
Right.
He said, they'll speak with new tongues.
Right.
He said, you can take up serpents or drink deadly things. None of these things will harm you. All of these things. But he said, go and do all these things. Lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So if you follow all of these things that God has said, if you'll follow these, then they'll come to pass. All you got to do is just believe. And he said, you know, so that you didn't have to have any kind of special training. He was speaking to Peter and John. You know, they didn't have to have an education. They didn't have to have anything. All they had to do was have confidence in what God said, what Jesus told them, and they could go out and do it.
Right.
That's all it took. He said, you know, they didn't have to have anything. But, you know, he said they didn't have to have any. They didn't have money because, you know, Jesus, Peter stood there, John stood there, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you.
Yeah.
That's all it took. Because you know what was given to them is what they could give out.
Right.
That's what they could give out. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, why, rise up and walk, what they told the crippled man.
Right.
Why? Because he had that, and he had it because he was what it was given to him.
Yeah.
But you know what the thing is it had to be a time that he was filled.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, so as we were reading earlier, you know, the more you get full on the things of God, you know what? Then you got to force the devil out. You know, the old saying that is, you know, God never turns us away empty unless we're full of ourselves. You know, so if we have the things that hinder us, you know, that's the things we got to get rid of. But you know what it takes? It takes the filling up on the Word. It takes the Word coming in. But you know what? You'll never get there if you don't ever, if you never study, if you never read, if you never pray.
Right,
you know, he said, how do we get closer to God? Reading your Bible and praying.
Right,
if you read your Bible and pray, if you get into the Word, then you know what? The Word is coming because if you have confidence in what you read. You know, how many times have you sat down and you're tired, you're weary, you're upset, and you start reading or you start listening to something? And all of a sudden, the more you begin to listen or the more you begin to read, then all of a sudden, your attitude begins to change. Something takes place inside of you that you've got to get rid of. You know, it's like, well, listen, I'm going to get up. You know, because the Scripture says that, you know, when David was going through all of his hard times and his battles and his troubles, everything like that, but the Scripture says, you know, he encouraged himself. Well, you know what? What did he do? He got away from the people that was hindering him. He had to get to the place where it was just him and God.
Amen.
You know, as the song says, shut in with God in a secret place. Sometimes you got to get to a place and you know, sometimes it's been on the roof of in the sun in the middle of the day and you're on the roof working and nobody else is around you, but it's you and God. Sometimes it's driving down the road. You get to a place where you get where it's just you and God, but you got to get to a place where it's just you and God. And you get to a place where God can speak to you. And you can speak to God and listen to what He has to say to you. And then when you get to that place, then the Lord will speak to you. And you begin to feed on the things of God. And you know, then all things begin to change. But you know, as long as you sit around and you listen to these things, and you know, I believe Brother Rand was telling the story about the lady that you know God had spoken to her and told her she was going to have a child. And when she went through all of that and struggling all that time, and her preacher and her husband and all of her family come against her, so you're not ever going to have that. You know, because their problems are too big. They're, you know, all of that. He's just some kind of soothsayer. He's just trying to get your money or just trying to build your hopes up. Yeah. All these type of things. And, you know, and then she came back and, you know, apologized to Brother Branham. He said, well, what did God say? What did God say? Did God tell you He's going to have a child? Well, I don't care. You know, then, no, how many devils, whatever is said. You know what? If God promised you that, then you know what? It's going to come to pass. That's the thing about God. You know, God's not an Indian giver. God's not too short. God's not going to run out of anything. Yeah, I was thinking this week. You know, I was looking at some things, and you know what's so amazing is when you have these people, and it's been about three or four times this week I've heard testimonies from people, and some of them are believers, and you know, people that are going through different, you know, going through hard times. Some people are facing surgeries or different things, whatever issues are. And it's so amazing because they said at times when they've got in these situations, all of a sudden the Lord has put somebody across their path to speak to them. Because one sister was telling that, you know, she was facing a surgery. Well, she met a person that had the exact same surgery, and it went great. And everything went wonderful. Everything's been great. And it's like, well, I believe the Lord put her across my path to encourage my faith. Because if I got to go this route, then praise God, there's somebody else that went by that had to go through that same route. And people that have, you know, financial problems, and people that have wayward loved ones and things that they're facing. And, you know, and some of them are people that are believers, and they meet somebody that has a need, that's facing a situation. And it's like they come by and it's like, well, the Lord put them across my path because I was able to share my testimony with them and share and encourage that person. Why? Because if you have a need, if you've got a problem, whatever the situation is, you know what? There's somebody that's been through that battle before that God has delivered and brought through. And you know what? God will put somebody across your path to tell you, listen, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't just keep going. Why? Because there's what? There's a brighter day ahead of you. It's just right in front of you. God is there to meet your need. And many times, well, I don't know. Yes. He's there. And He's wanting to speak to you and tell you He's there. And it's available. You know, there's many times people go through, you know, financial hardships and different problems and different things in their lives. And I appreciate Brother John and all of his Sunday school lessons. Because you know what? You know, lots of people, when you get to talking about money, you know, people get a little nervous. They get a little bit of anxiety. But let me tell you something. One thing I appreciate about Brother John, when he gets up here, there ain't no lack of faith and there ain't no lack of confidence in what God's done. When he gets up here, he's so positive. Why? Because he has seen God work. And when you stand up here and you begin to talk about those things, why is it that people have anxiety about something? Why? Because they don't put their confidence in God. If you had confidence in God, you know what? I know what the Bible says about handling money. Well, then guess what? Then you got to do that. But if you do that, if you follow those principles, as Brother John was talking about, if you got confidence, why? Because I can't handle money. And, you know, if you say, well, I can't handle money. If that's your problem, then guess what? There's a plan in God's Bible that you can follow. And guess what? God will lead you through. And the problem is you got to put your trust in, well, Lord, you got to help me because I can't do this. And it's just like, well, you know, I've got a sickness. I've got an illness. I've got this problem. I've got an infirmity. Whatever it is, you know what? Then God is the healer. And then guess what? We put our trust and our confidence in Him. And when you can't get out of bed in the morning, then praise God. Then you know what? The Holy Ghost will come and help you get out of bed. But you know what? People think that's a joke. But you know what? That's true. But people don't see that. I was thinking about Sister Dale being in that bedroom when Pop was on the ground. When he was down there and Nanny was in there and all of a sudden somebody got him out of the floor. And she didn't do it. Well, then you know what? There's a miracle that took place. Then you know what? That he, if God is the one that got him up out of the floor and got him in there, then you know what? God's the one that took care of him the rest of the time. Amen. If God starts a work in you and already done one miracle, that well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to take place. Well, you know what? I don't have any worries. I don't have any problems. Why? Because God's already done one work. God's already done one miracle. Then you know what? He'll do another one. He can do all of them. But the problem is that we just got to keep holding on and keep having faith and keep believing and keep thanking Him for what He's done. And just keep believing. And if we just keep putting our faith and confidence in Him, then praise God, it'll take place. We don't have to worry about it. Because God is the one that's in control. But see, the thing is you've got to get to the Word. You've got to get in the Word. And the Word's got to get in you. And you've got to be just like that water pot. You just got to keep pouring the water in. Keep pouring the water in. Your Brother Branham says, and God and His people, He said, there's a fountain open, flowing freely everywhere. Just drink till you just can't drink no more. The tree, if it just drinks to what it was allotment, why? It would just always still in the drought. That's what's the matter with Christians. They don't drink enough. You want to drink till you just spread out and let everybody else see it. See? Push out. Get a testimony. Commit it to God. Believe it. Step out on it. Claim God's promise. Just commit it to God. Believe it. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. He will bring it to pass whatever you want. So if you just keep drinking in and pushing out, then you know what? As long as you're in the water, then you know what? It's going to take place. Because you plant something, as Brother Wade's out planting his garden and everything, you know, and the water's got to be, you know, you get out there and you plant, and then you hoe and you take care of fertilize and everything, but you keep putting the water to it. Just, well, put all the seed in the ground, and we're going to get out there with a hoe, and we're going to hoe this dusty ground. Well, if there's no moisture there, then you know what? You've stunted the growth. You can have the seed. You can hear the Word and it can be planted. But if there's no water added to it, it's not ever going to come up. And you've got to stay in the Word and keep adding water to that. And if we just keep adding water, we keep staying there, then guess what? It's got to take place. You just keep staying there. Well, I don't see a change. Well, praise God, just keep staying in it. You know, because, you know, if you follow the laws of God, then you know what? It's got to take place. It's like, you go get in the, I mean, how many of y'all got in the shower and said, well, you know, I've been in here 30 minutes, I'm still dry as a bone. And I don't know why. There's water everywhere, but I'm still dry as a bone. Well, no, if you get in the presence of God, then you know what? It's got to do. You've got to get into it. You've got to get it. Something's got to take place. There's got to be an effect of that. And so if you're in the presence of God, if you're in the Word, then you know what? It's got to start to do a work on you. But you know what? Sometimes we just don't get enough water. Brother Ram said, you know, we just get enough water to get baptized. We get enough to, you know, pray for forgiveness of sins. But you know, we don't stay in it long enough till the Lord comes in and begins to do a work. Until He begins to push out all these things. Until it becomes a place where it's everything is taken out. See, Brother Ram says, and God's gifts always find their place. When he's speaking of what the Word is doing, when the Word comes, he says, hey, here's what it's teaching us. He said that God can use every faculty of our being if it's surrendered to Him. He said, we've got to surrender it to Him. He said, He can use our mind, our dreams, our subconscious, our first conscious, our tongue, our songs, our eyes, our everything that we have can be used to God if it's committed to God. See, everything that you are committed to God, He'll use every outlet and every part of you. He'll use it no matter what it is. He'll use it if it's sanctified for His purpose and calling. So if we begin to use these things, why? Because the more we commit and begin to stay in this Word and we begin to feed on this Word and soak up this Word, soak up the water, then as it takes place, and you know what? It's got to begin to change. It's like, well, you know, I've been doing this for so long. Whatever the case may be, you just stay with it. You just keep doing it. God's going to do a work. You know, people talk about, you know, Abraham had to wait 25 years for a son. And, you know, and Noah, he preached 120 years to a generation to see what was going to take place. But, you know, one of the things I always think about is that man sitting at the pool. And, you know, he was there and he had an infirmity. Well, you know, Brother Ram said he wasn't going to die of it. But you know what? He laid there 38 years. Now, when Noah was telling them for 120 years, you got to get in the ark or you're going to die. You know what? It was a life or death situation. You know, there were other people that were in the scripture. You know what? Moses gave them told the children of Israel, listen, it's a life or death situation. Everybody had a life. But you know what? This man didn't have a life or death situation. But you know what? He laid there for 38 years with an infirmity. But you know what? He had the faith to hold on for 38 years. And he still hold on, still laid there and kept trying to get up when Jesus come to him and said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, well, Lord, he said, I've got nobody to put me in the water. How many times had the pool had been troubled by the angel? How many times had that pool been troubled by the angel? And that man struggled to get to the water, struggling, and when somebody got in ahead of him. And he had to walk in defeat, and he had to crawl back to his mat, laying there until the angel came again. But you know what? He never gave up on that. He never got tired. Why? Because there was a promise in the Word, and he stayed right there. Year after year. I don't know how often the angel came, but you know, he laid there for 38 years. Now, it wasn't going to kill him, but you know what? He gave up 38 years of his life holding on. No matter how many, you know, if he'd only had it happen one time, that's disheartening. But if he'd laid there and seen that happen two or three times, and more, and you know, here's more people coming. Maybe more people came to that pool of Bethesda and laid around it. Maybe there was people laying around that pool and end up dying. But you know what? He laid right there at that pool. And he laid right there and he kept waiting for the angel. And he saw the stirring of the water. And he got up and he struggled. Every single time he kept trying to get to the water. And you know what? And somebody got ahead of him. And he laid right there. How disheartening was that? How heartbreaking is to go through all of that and not get what you want. But here come Jesus up to him and said, wilt thou be made whole? Amen. See, the one who created the angel, that created all things, was standing in front of him. The creator of the angel that came and troubled the waters was standing in front of him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, "Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying." But you know what? Jesus didn't ask him about, "I got no man to get me into water." He didn't ask him that. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to see a miracle take place? Do you want what your desire is? 38 years in the making. And he said, "Yes." Then he said, "Well, just take up your bed and walk." Then that's what it took. When Jesus spoke those words to him, then you know what? He could take Jesus at his word, or he could have laid there.
Yeah, right.
After he laid there for 38 years, having faith in what the scripture, what the word said, that because he had seen those things take place, that angel would come and trouble the waters. No doubt he'd seen other people come there, get in the water and get healed and walk fine. Whatever they were. But you know what? It never changed him. But you know what? He got to the place. You know what? He's like, "Well, you know what? I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to get up." Maybe he had to crawl. Maybe he had to crawl over to the wall or slide over to the wall. I don't know. Maybe Jesus helped him up. Maybe he got up on his own. Maybe he's all of a sudden, you know, he got his feet underneath him, decided, "I'm going to stand up and try this." 38 years, all of a sudden, he's standing on his feet. And so many times, there's things in our lives that happen, and maybe, you know, it may not be a great thing. It's not a salvation issue. But there's things that are not right, or you're facing problems, and you know the thing is sometimes we can get to the point where we just like, "Well, I'm just, you know, just going to live with it." And it's like we don't see a way out. We get discouraged by these things. We can be just like that man. But what about if Jesus was to come by and speak to you, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be delivered of that? Will you put your trust in me?" Then we can put our confidence in God and do what he said. See, this is from Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. Brother Ram is speaking, and he's talking about having the Holy Ghost. He says, "I just received the Holy Ghost the other night. Hallelujah." He said, "You're going to make me do so and so." He said, "God can't use a bit of that." He says, "No, whenever you get licked and you realize you're licked, then you come back and humble yourself." He said, "Get weak. You'll find out you're human." He said, "And there's none of you intellectuals can do." He said, "Human weakness will never be used of God." God, by the human weaknesses, pours himself into you. Then he uses himself. You just become an instrument. Certainly, you've got to get yourself out of the way. So when we get to the places when things happen, see, we got to realize we've got weaknesses, we've got shortcomings, we got problems. But you know what? God will work through those things. Because just like that man laying there beside that pool, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But Jesus didn't have to drag him over to the pool. He wanted him to have faith and confidence in what he said. Then get up. So we have human weaknesses. We've got problems. We all do. We all face things, and we all have complexes and different things that we have to deal with. But the thing is you know what? Through God will use it when he pours himself into those situations. Then you know, he can work through those. You know, so many times when Brother Branham was standing up and he'd be talking about all the things that he had went through, you know, temper and the different things that he had been through in his life. You know, a lot of people, they wouldn't have stood up and told all the things Brother Branham did. Because people don't, I'm not going to tell you all my shortcomings. I'm not going to tell you all my faults. But you know what? Brother Brown was an open book. He began to tell everybody all the things that he had done. Why? Because he wanted you to understand he was a man just like everybody else. He had faults and failures and shortcomings. And you know what? But you know what? God had grace to bring him through all those things. And so the thing is when you have the shortcomings and God can use, he said, you just become an instrument for God to use. You know, many times when people stand, when Brother Brandon would be calling a prayer line and he'd be calling people up and, he'd tell people standing in the prayer line, he'd tell them, listen, if you've got unconfessed sins, if you've got a problem, he said, get out of the line. You need to get out of the line. But you know what? And he told him, he said, y'all need to make that right. And I was listening to a brother the other day, and he said, there's never been a place where Brother Branham got up and told him, said, y'all such horrible people. I don't know why y'all would even get in the prayer line, because y'all know y'all got unconfessed sin. And how do you expect God to do anything for you? No, he told him, he said, get out of the line and make that right. Why? Because God was speaking to them, listen, there's something that's going to hinder your healing, but you need to get whatever you're looking for through from God. He said, you're here and God can meet your need, but the problem is you've got something, you need to take care of that. And so he didn't try to tell them, don't get in the prayer line. No, take care of it and get in the prayer line. Don't let anything hinder you. Whatever the issue is, then let God come on the scene that he can take care of that. And if you just allow him, then he can work through those things. So if you've got issues, it's like Brother Brown, he had faults and failures. But you know what? He wanted to show the people that was grace, that God was working through him. Well, why? Because everybody thought, God spoke. That was God's mouthpiece, and he was a prophet. Yeah, but he was a human being. And he went through all the same, they try to put Brother Branham in the same category they put Jesus in. And, Jesus never had a problem. Well, Jesus faced all the problems that you face. All the same devils, he faced all the same thing. And Brother Branham did too, and guess what? And Brother Branham was a human and failed. But you know what? It didn't change who he was. It didn't change his ministry. But you know what? He had to go and had to go make things right. He had to go pray through. And he was showing that he done those things. And you know what? It didn't change. Well, you know what? Brother Branham told a lie. So you know what? I'm going to get rid of my books. Brother Branham hung a cross from the mirror in his car. Well, I don't know if I can have confidence in him or not. Well, he was a human. And sometimes, the devil likes to get those little things, and the devil will get those things in your mind, and they'll roll them around and around and around and around. You waste a whole day listening to the things the devil's got to say. He'll be on your shoulder and just, oh man, it's so draining sometimes. But sometimes it's good just get in the Word. Just like, I can't remember who the man's name was, I think Brother Dale used to talk about that man, and he's like, the devil always talking to him. He said, devil, we're going to read some of the Bible today. Let's look over here, we'll read this right here. We'll get in and start reading the Scripture, and we're going to read the Scripture together. And all of a sudden, he didn't want to read the Scripture anymore. Why? Because that was contrary to what he was trying to tell him. We're going to get in over here where it's something positive. We're going to read something that's good. That's what God said. We're going to get into this. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do. Get into this that we can reflect him. That we make himself known. See, we begin to see these things. If we can just surrender ourselves, our complete being, see, then we become what God wants us to be. He says, I believe this is from the Statue of a Perfect Man. He said, see, when you surrender your complete being, then the Holy Spirit just pours through you in these virtues, then you're a living tabernacle. Then people look out and say, that's a man full of virtue, knowledge. He believes the word, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, full of the love of the Holy Ghost. See, there he is walking around. What is it? A stature that unbelievers can look at and say, there is a Christian. There is a man or a woman who knows what they're talking about. See, if we can get to those things where we can get them poured in, everything, it gets poured in. All those virtues, all the Holy Spirit, all those things get poured in. Then when you get full on those things, then you can be used of God. Then all of a sudden it begins to flow out from you. As he talked about those rivers flowing out. See, when it begins to overflow and begins, then it becomes out. Just like when they filled those water pots filled up, then they were able to scoop that out and take it. And it's like, wow, what took place? It was a miracle. But that's what God wants from us. Lord, fill me up, Lord, that I can teach others. Lord, that I can be used of God. Lord, fill me up. Lord, let me empty myself of everything that's not like you. To be filled up, that we can be given out. To be emptied out. To those that need it. Because, you know, there's one thing. God didn't fill us up just to be full. So if God give, you know, through justification, if he takes us and he chops off all our past sins and brings us in, and through sanctification, he cleans us and sets us aside for service, then he wants to fill us. Brother Bram said he wants to fill us to put us in service. God just didn't do that just to have us full of the Holy Ghost. He wants us to be used. For us to be used to be instrumentalities. The living, breathing instrumentalities of Jesus Christ. That the world can see. To help those that have needs. That have problems. Why? Because, you know what? You know, nobody's going to be able to do it all by themselves. It takes one another. It takes everybody working together. And the main thing is, you know, don't get our eyes on somebody else, but what you have called me to, Lord, that's what I want to do. It's not big eyes and little U's or anything like that, but it's to be called to what God has called us to. Whatever little small part it is, if whatever part of the body it is, that's what I want to be. I want to be a part of the body. I want to be effective part of the body of Jesus Christ. I want to be the part that I want to be the best that what God has called me to be. To be full that God can use me. That can be given out. To be emptied out. To be poured out upon people. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. I want to sing that song tonight. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. Why? Because I want to be full. I want to be filled up. That I can be given out. That I can be emptied out. That I can flow. That these virtues are in me, that they can be given out. That people that need strength, they can draw on us. That we can all stand and do the part that God has given us to do, the journey to come into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love love till there's just no more love. I can never, ever outlove the Lord. Want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no
Amen.
Love. I can never, ever outlove the Lord and make me more like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Make me more like Thee, Jesus. Make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love.
They that wait
upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we go this evening, all hearts and minds clear. We got any announcements need to be made? All right, do it Sunday. All right. Well, God bless you tonight as we get ready to dismiss and just all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house, Lord, together. And, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you come and speak to our hearts. Lord, we just pray that you just quicken this word that we've heard, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us be vessels of honor, Lord, that we can be used of you, Lord. Lord, to be emptied of the things of this world and, Lord, all carnality and things that hinder you. Lord, things that are not pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, let us be filled all the way to the fullness, Lord. Lord, that if we're full of you, Lord, that we can overflow, Lord, that we can reach out to those that have needs, Lord, that are of this lost and dying world, Lord, that they can see Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that you be with each one, Lord. Go with us, and Lord, just watch over and keep us till we come back. And Lord, we're just so thankful for each one. Lord, we just pray that special blessing on them. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. This is